Father, it's good to be before you this morning to declare our need.
Yeah.
Our need is we need you more.
Yeah.
We need you more today than we needed you yesterday.
Yeah.
Lord, as we go further in our journey with you,
yeah,
as we encounter you more and more in our lives, we just need you more.
Yes.
The difficulties we face, the hardships, those kind of things, the unexpected things, it's at those times we find we're crying out to you, God, we need you more.
Yes.
So we just pray this morning that you would open our eyes through your word to see how we can find more, how you help us to get more of you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, good morning. My name is Ian. Good to see you all. I know we have some visitors, as usually the case in the summertime. We are going through a series called A Great Cloud of Witnesses, and we are going through the book of Genesis, and we're up to a character named Jacob. We've seen a number of things. Jacob is a twin. His brother is big and hairy, and he is not. And there are a number of things we've gone through. We've talked about the birthright episode. We've talked about the blessing episode. And last week, we also saw that Jacob was almost kicked out of the house. In fact, he was kicked out of the house because his older, well, I shouldn't say older. I keep saying older when it comes to Esau. He's not really older, although he is technically because he was born first. His older twin brother, Esau, wanted to kill him. So he had to leave. In fact, his mom and dad were urging him, you have to leave. You got to go to your uncle Laban. And we're going to talk about Laban a lot today. You have to go to your uncle Laban. And as he went to his uncle Laban, he stopped at this place called Bethel. And at Bethel, he must have been quite afraid. He's away from home. You have to remember the characteristic of Jacob up to this point that we've known. Yes, he's a little bit of a cheater. He's a heel holder. But he's also a home buddy. He is somebody who just likes to hang out at home. And so now he's out in the wilderness, about 85 kilometers away from home. There's nobody there. And he has this encounter with God. Nigel went through it with us last week. When he left home, there's no possibility that he was leaving with a skip in his step. He was probably leaving pretty depressed and pretty upset with how things had gone. He has this encounter with God, and God appears to him and takes the promises, transfers the promises that he gave to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, and he says, I want to give you those same promises. And Jacob, it's you that I'm going to use to move this thing that I'm doing on the earth forward. So at that point, you've got to know as he wakes up and the dream is over and he's now heading towards this place called Haran. He has new wind in his sails. And just in case you're not quite sure what that means, I have a picture of a sailboat. You know, When you're out in the on the waters and there's no wind, it's pretty hard to make good progress, especially if you're depending on the wind. And if you can imagine that Jacob is kind of leaving home with his sail down, no wind blowing at all. After his experience that he had at Bethel, there is new wind in his sails, new energy within him, and he is heading towards this place called Haran. And I want to just remind you of the things that God said to him that would put this wind in his sails. Genesis 28 verse 15 says this, I'm with you, Jacob. I'm going to protect you, Jacob. And I'm going to bring you back, Jacob, to this very land that you're in right now. You're going away for a while, but I'm going to be with you the whole way because I've promised you something and I'm not going to back off on my promise. And the second thing that I think is interesting in this, in verse 14, just before this, God says to Jacob, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In you, Jacob. In you and your offspring, but specifically in you. And I think we have to consider the kind of person that Jacob was. Jacob was a cheater. Jacob would always try to get the upper hand. And you and I, we should be asking ourselves this morning, how in the world is a man who is that kind of character going to bless other people? Because if you've got money in your pocket and you meet Jacob, do you know where that money is sooner or later going to be? In Jacob's pocket. That's just the kind of person that Jacob was. So how is it possible that God says, Jacob, I am going to bless the whole world through you and through your offspring? You wouldn't want to be with Jacob. And so what we're going to look at this morning is how God would help Jacob. And it's going to be a long journey. How is God going to help Jacob to change from the kind of person that he is to become a person that God wants him to be? And here's what you got to know. If you would ask Jacob, do you want to bless other people? Jacob in his heart of hearts would say, I really do. I really do want to bless other people. But the problem was, Jacob was Jacob. And so before we go any further, I'm a big sports fan, as many of you know, and I love American football, even though I wasn't born in this country. I kind of adopted that sport as a kind of a sport that I follow. And there's a very famous coach. I'm not sure if you know who he is. His name is Tom Landry. I have a picture of him here. He was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he was a two-time Super Bowl winner and amazing record as a football coach. And I love what Tom Landry was quoted one time. He says, the job of a football coach, and I'm talking about a good football coach here, is to make men do what they do not want to do in order for them to achieve what they always wanted to achieve. Amen? I know they're like, hey, Ian, I'm not going to amen a football coach. Surprise, surprise, he's a brother. He's a Christian. How many football players are there? Every single one of them has the desire in their heart to be a champion. But a good coach, the best coach, will cause a man who is a football player to do what he does not want to do. Work hard. Be disciplined. So that he can actually achieve what he really secretly desires. Everybody wants to be a champion. Tom Landry, I think, put it very, very well. And what we're going to start with this morning is this thought for you. God is like that kind of coach. God is like that kind of coach. He wants you and me to reach our potential. The question is, how is he going to accomplish that? You might say, oh, I would just like him to be loving and kind and let me do whatever I want to do. If you're a coach like that, your football team is going nowhere. You need discipline. You need a loving hand that says no. You need a loving hand that says, no, that's not going to work. I've tried that before. So as we start this morning, let's just keep this in mind. The God that we have is a good God. And we have said this a number of times here. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
How about that? And that means through some of the tough times, God is still good. God doesn't change because the situation changes or the things we're going through changes. God is good all the time. So let's look. We're gonna have a look this morning at the journey. We're going to look at the first 7 years of Jacob's journey away. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 29. I'm going to read through these verses for you just to give you a little bit of a background, or at least to give you the text. Then Jacob went on his journey. This is after his experience at Bethel, and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone of the well's mouth was large. And when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in place on the mouth. Jacob said to them, my brothers, where do you come from? Jacob has no idea where he is. They said, we're from Haran. And that's exactly where Jacob knows he should have been going. He said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? They said to him, we know him. He said to them, "Is it well with him?" They said, "It is well." And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. Let's keep going. He said, "Behold, it's still high day." In other words, there's a lot of the day still left. It's not time for the livestock to be gathered together, water the sheep, and go pasture them. But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep." Keep going. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, Jacob came near, rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban. Let me just stay here for a second. Some of us would think, oh, no big deal. Can't be that big of a rock. Believe me, it's a big rock. The reason why they needed multiple shepherds and their flocks to come around is that rock was so big that they needed that just to protect the well from other people coming and stealing their water. So you wouldn't have just a small rock on there. And so here is Jacob. He sees Rachel coming. We don't know if this is divine something or maybe it's just love struck. We're not quite sure what it is, but Jacob moved that rock off the mouth of the well. Let's keep going. I've got a few more verses for you. "Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud." That's just a welcome in many cultures. He welcomed her, or he said hello. "And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father." Two more verses I want to share with you before I share a little bit more. Look at these verses. Rachel was beautiful. Beautiful in form. Beautiful in appearance. Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, this is what he's saying later on in the story. He's saying to Laban, his uncle, "I will serve you 7 years for your daughter, Rachel." Let me just share a little bit on these kinds of things, because I think it's helpful for us to recognize God has already said to Jacob, "I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you." And it's interesting because Jacob arrives in the right place, meets the right people at the right time. And Rachel just happens to be walking along at that exact time. Coincidence? No, because God is God. God has promised Jacob, "I'm going to be with you." And there are times where God leads us in this manner, in this way. He is guiding Jacob the whole way. Of course, here we also see Jacob's strength. We see his passion. Some people feel it's not okay to show emotion. I was one of those people. When I was growing up, I grew up in a pretty, I would say, kind of normal British family where you didn't hug one another. Sorry, Hazel, if this was different for you, that's fine. But the way it was for me, there was no love shown in the family. It, you know, affectionate kind of love. No one came and said, "Oh, Ian, I love you." Those, you know, that just didn't happen. It was more like, "Well done, keep doing what you're doing." You know, that's the kind of thing that was shown. And sometimes, you know, when it comes to our experiences, we think, you know, I need just to keep my love and my emotions in check, and I shouldn't express those kind of things. I've been so blessed over the last couple of, well, actually, I've been blessed since I met my wife, because she has taught me how to hug. Seems like, "Ian, you're an abnormal person." Oh, it's just like, it's peculiar for me. It just doesn't necessarily work. And so, you know, I've just gone through many, many things. And she has a very loving family. I've mentioned this before. And then the Lord brought me across, brought Pierre and Jeanette here. And they're very South American. And they love to hug. And so all the years my wife prepared me was just for you. How about that? You know, it's okay. It's okay to show our emotions. It's okay to show our love for one another. Sometimes we feel like, "Oh, no, wait. We're in the church. We better not do those kind of things." No, please. Show your affection for one another. The other thing that is very good here is to see that Jacob falls in love with Rachel. Can I see the hands of anybody who has fallen in love with somebody, please? Oh my goodness, we have trouble in this room. Okay, all right, okay. Husbands, your hands should be way high. Oh my goodness. Some in the back row, maybe they didn't get it. Okay. Yeah, you know what? We do fall in love. We do fall in love. And that's a very normal thing. That's what God wants for us. God has a Rachel. God has a Jacob for you. Just, you know, like, don't think, oh, no, it's always going to be this way. No, recognize your God is good. God wants the best for you. Last thing I would say is this, because I have talked about God divinely moving Jacob along, I want to bring you to a verse in Proverbs chapter 3, because I think this really sets things out. Could we read this together? Ready, go.
The Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father his son whom he likes.
And so here's where we're at this morning. We have a loving, compassionate God who is good. And he wants every one of us to be able to bless others. That's what he told Jacob. I want you to bless others. And yet, in our present state, we may just not be able to do that. And so he has to guide us, lead us into places that are hard, sometimes restricted, sometimes really difficult. But don't misunderstand his goodness. That is his goodness, because he loves you and he wants to help you become something you really, really want to become anyway. So this is kind of like a little bit of an insight into God's love. I want to continue on with the story. I know it's going to take us a little while to finish this story, but we really feel like for us to understand the narrative is very important. Let's continue with verses 13 through 30. And I want to introduce you now to a man named Laban. We might be familiar with Laban from the past. This morning, I hope you can see how much this man loves to use other people and loves to take advantage of other people, and he does it to benefit himself. Let's look at the verses. Verse 13. As soon as Laban... Oh, actually, I'm in. Sorry, can you go back to 24 for me? Sorry, I messed that up. I want to show you the first encounter we have with this man named Laban. And if you recall back to Abraham trying to find a wife for Isaac, this is the same man. It's some years earlier, but look at the character of Laban. When the camel... Yes, when the camels had finished drinking, the man, that is the servant of Abraham, took gold, a gold nose ring weighing about half a shekel, which doesn't mean much to us, is about 5.5 grams, and two bracelets for her arms, that's Rebecca's arms, weighing 10 gold shekels. Let me just translate that for you as best I can. That half shekel nose ring would probably have cost around $500 today. Those bracelets that went on her arms would cost about $5,000 each. That's a nice little present to receive. Okay? Look at this. Laban ran out towards the man as soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms. Okay, that should tell you a lot about Laban. Laban is greedy. Let's keep going. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. This is what the servant is saying. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold. And you got to believe Laban's ears are just like perking up. All right, there's more where this came from. Male servants, female servants, camels and donkeys. And the servant brought out jewelry, silver and gold and garments and gave them to Rebecca. But he also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. There's a lot that's going on. This man obviously has got a lot of stuff with him, and he's indicating how wealthy Abraham is. Let's come back now to the verses. I want to read the verses starting at verse 13. Let's pick up this narrative because this is the Laban we're talking about. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him, and he brought him to his house. Of course, Laban knows this is from the same family that all those riches came from a little bit earlier. Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are bone, my bone and my flesh," and he stayed with him for a month. Let's keep going. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." And you can almost hear Laban say, "Deal. I will take that deal." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of love. Brothers, you got to hold on to those kind of words. "Oh, honey, it's been a long time, but I've been in love with you so much." I don't mean pretense-wise. It's a good heart to have. It's a good heart to have. Seemed like just a few days because of the love he had for her. Keep going. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife." In other words, the 7 years are over, "that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Okay, that's nasty. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this that you've done to me? I didn't serve you. Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not so in our country. We don't do those kind of things in our country, Jacob. Maybe they do those kind of things over where you come from, but the way we do things here in our part of the country, a little bit different. Didn't I mention to you that that's the way it was before we started?" No. Slipped my mind. So Laban said, "It's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one." That means complete the wedding week for Leah, "and we will give you the other also, Rachel, in return for me, in return for serving me another 7 years." A couple more verses. Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. Wow. What kind of a character is this person, Laban? Well, here's what we do know. We know, Jacob tells us later in the story, we don't have to go there, Laban is not a wealthy man to start with. And you know what? There could be no worse combination than that. Remember what I told you before? He's greedy. He's very greedy, and he's also poor. Put that combination together. That is a terrible combination. Because you're going to do whatever you have to do to get more wealth. You'll take advantage of people. You'll step on top of them. You don't care because you're trying to get yourself out of the situation that you're in. Laban takes advantage of Jacob's strength. He has him work for him for 7 years. Then he does the switch on the wedding night, and he has him work for another 7 years. 14 years of free labor. Some of us are chuckling, thinking, "That sounds like a good deal. That sounds like a good deal." Think about this. Laban also used the fact that Jacob was so in love with Rachel to his advantage. You have to wonder, what kind of a man is it that sees his daughters the way that this man saw his daughters? They're almost like commodities. They're like merchandise. I can sell them. I can switch them. Think about the plans and the dreams and the hopes that Rachel had in her heart as she knew that Jacob loved her. And as those years were passing by, she was thinking, my wedding day is coming. And one day when the wedding day came and the feast was going on, Dad said, sit down. Her heart was crushed. That's Laban. Laban doesn't care. Laban only cares about himself, and he only cares about making life better for him. Laban lied and justified what he did by his culture. He is deceptive. He is cunning. He is mean. Okay. How many of you would like to sit beside Laban? No, Laban. I wouldn't. But you know what? Remember how we started? Sometimes God puts us through some very difficult situations because we need it. In God's sovereign arrangement, in order to make Jacob be the blessing to others that he knew Jacob needed to be and Jacob wanted to be, God saw fit to allow Jacob to be under this man for that many years. In fact, the whole length of time, we'll talk about it more next week, was 20 years. Jacob needed this kind of person. Jacob needed Laban. Because of who Jacob was, he needed a Laban. Someone who would get the upper hand on him. Jacob had the reign in his own house. Jacob needed this to become a blessing to other people. What I love about this story is that in spite of all that Jacob went through, he never lost his integrity. He always worked hard and he never quit. And one of the beautiful things, I'm pretty sure I have chapter 31, verses 6 and 7. Look at these verses. Look at Jacob's realization towards the end of this whole thing. We'll talk about this coming up next week. You know that I have served your father. This is him speaking to Rachel and Leah. I've served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. Jacob knows that God was involved in this whole procedure. Let me finish in this way. I want to ask you, who or what is your Laban? Who or what is your Laban? Maybe it's a difficult boss. Maybe it's a difficult teacher. And you know, sometimes you think, if I could just have a different boss, or if I could just have a different job situation, maybe what you should be saying, maybe what you should be asking is, God, where are you in this situation? Because God has promised every Christian, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Don't just try to struggle through on your own. Let God come and help you and do the kind of work in your heart that He really, really wants to do. Maybe you have a neighbor who's just nosy or noisy or complaining. And maybe all three. Maybe that's your Laban. Maybe the spouse that you have. These are not my words. I'm not trying to hide here. Maybe the spouse you have, I got these words from Dell. You can talk to Dell afterwards. Maybe before you get married, you look at your spouse and you say, man, that guy is so determined. I love that he is just chasing hard after his career. He is so driven. And then you marry him, and guess what? He's that way towards you. And maybe it's the other way around. Maybe that is the Laban experience for you for a while. Maybe it's a situation of being single. Maybe it's the fact that you have studied hard and you want to find a job and you can't find the job here in Toronto and you've got to go somewhere else and it's not your first preference, but God has divinely arranged it. That's exactly what He needs for you, because He needs you to become a blessing to other people. Would you take that from Him and find Him as you go through it? Maybe you're in a situation where you're the only person in your family who is saved. Nobody understands you. They think you're an idiot. They think you're a fool. They think you've lost your mind. That is a hard situation to go through. But can you find God as you go through it so He can begin to work in you and do things in you you really want to have happen? Maybe for you, it's your parents moved you to a new country. Maybe you're the parent and you moved your family to a new country. And you're going through a whole lot of issues where you can't find a job and you really wanted to come here because you had a hope of a better life for your family and it's just not working out the way that you thought it was working out. And I would tell you, don't quit. If God has arranged and God was the one who led you here, don't run away. Don't quit. Let God do in you what He has to do. I want to end with two things. I have one verse for you, but I want to share it after this video that I show you. This video is quite interesting because I started with a football theme. I'm going to end with a football theme. And this, this video is help to us to see how God is fighting for us to become something we don't think we can become necessarily, but we secretly want it so bad.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
I want you to pay attention to those words. Your absolute best.
30?
I think you can go the 50.
50? I can go the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I'll have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
You have a good coach. You have a good coach who wants to help you become what you really need to become. You have a good God who is with you every step of the way. And I know there are some things you're going through even right now and you will go through are going to be hard. But you got to know your God is with you. I want to share one last verse with you. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen? Let me pray for us and we're done. Father God, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you that it's a difficult word, and yet we know you will be with us through everything that you allow us to go through. You're a good God. You're a God who is with us every step of the way. Even when it is hard, you are there with us. Even when we want to quit, you are there with us. You want us to become a blessing to others, and we want that as well. And we just pray you would grant us the strength to see you as we go through the difficult things we go through. Pray for this week. Pray for all of us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? Amen. One quick announcement before we go. This week is the beginning of the City Youth Conference. It starts this Wednesday. We still do have a need for people who could open up their homes on Saturday for lunch. There will be one young brother outside taking your information. If you're able to host 5 or 6 people to come over for lunch, that would be awesome. It's great for the young people to get to know the rest of the church. Amen? Thank you. We're dismissed.